Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone to dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Star for the Universe on call. But if you want the best online experience, what you want to go to, you want to go to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/SFU on call. And you will find us there. You'll be able to join us for the chat room. You'll be able to see my lovely face and watch the actual live broadcast stream. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, X, whatever. The account is sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account, which is Paul Franz. And my business account is Franz Games. Yes, I still have all those accounts. Not going to mention anything else. And of course, I'm also on Blue Sky. Yes, we still have... I have two Blue Sky accounts. One is sfuoncall.bsky.social. The other one is franzgames.com. Obviously, the first one is for the podcast. The second one is personal/business use. Again, I haven't posted anything yet. I will probably do so in the future. Probably Bsky might send out announcements about the topic or whatever. And see what happens. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Not much going on AV this week, except we did get an updated version of the Galactic Conquest that's now available on normal e-tailers, you know, Wales 23, Drive-Thru Vault, and Wargame Vault, and Drive-Thru RPG. Been a while. The newly updated 6th edition of the most famous campaign rules in Starfleet Universe use these rules to in the official campaigns or play your own campaigns, including everything. Conquest, exploration, alliances, diplomacy, construction, technological development, ships, bases, crew quality, legendary officers, and a thousand more things. This campaign system is designed to be used with Starfleet battles. It might work with other game systems if you go to some effort, and also assume that you either create your own map or use the map provided by the campaign game masters. It is a double-blinded GM-moderated system and is suitable for campaigns running from the middle years all the way to the X era. The new edition has been updated with better organization and cross-referencing of rules. Nearly 24 examples. You can see how various rules are intended to work, which I think has always been those wonderful things about Starfleet battles, is those examples. Those examples really are a great thing. And provides rules to allow campaigns to cover intergalaxy conflicts such as Operation Unity, or simply fight in a single galaxy using post-General War era tech. So it is a very good one, and obviously it's available on e-tailer, so you can download your copy. I did not pick up on the cost. I apologize. I should have looked that up, but I had assumed it was going to be on the posting. It was not on the Facebook posting. So, but anyway, moving on and forward, found an online store for this week. We have a pack of 6 metal stands, $9.95. The 6 metal pins and 6 plastic bases. Now these are for the mount for your scratch built ships, or replace the old stands from the earlier series, or mount starships from other product lines. Yeah, if you had some of the older ships, you know, the original metal ships, this is what you would use. And these are great. You know, again, there's only $10 for 6. So if you have some of those old ones and some of your old metal stands have died, well, you can still get replacements. And that's always good to hear. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the campaigns, well, we have one campaign that's still running, which is Frank LeMay's Above and Beyond campaign, which is still going strong. Battles are in progress, and always Frank is looking for captains to play the different individual scenarios. The Sapphire Star 18 tournament is currently I'm gonna say paused. We're waiting for Metal Dog, Justin, to get over his sickness. He had some kind of flu or something for the past month, so it's been really hard for him to play. When it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, the games have progressed, including mine. I actually have four games completed, and you will actually be able to hear a little bit about that in the upcoming episode. When it comes to online client stuff this week, the Linux machine is installed. It's all set up. Well, not all set up. It's installed. I still need to check on the requirements for the installers, including when it comes to I want to create a flat pack for setup for it so that I can install it on the Steam Deck for people who want to do that. I also need to look a little more about into the Steam Deck to see exactly how to. I think I know how to do it. But I'm But I'm wondering, there's certain things I still need to find out because you can put the Steam Deck into desktop mode, and that's where you actually install things from a flat pack, which are not actually on the Steam store. I don't think I can get my on the Steam store. I'm not sure. And it would be for only the Steam Deck, so but anyway. The Windows box is set up. I was able to do that this past week. Also, did some initial. The initial SFU online client, an initial build to test to see if the creation of the installer, if that all worked using the new Oracle tools, the ones from Oracle that is called JPackage, and which will create a installer for Windows or for Linux or for Mac, but you have to run it on those platforms. That's why I have to actually have a box for each one of those platforms. No, unfortunately, no cross-platform stuff. And it was successful. I actually was able to create the installer and actually install it on the machine, and it all worked beautifully. I actually was able to log into SFB Online and just look around real quick. I did not actually try to start a game or anything like that. I'm assuming that that stuff works. But yeah, it was good to see that that was relatively easy to do. After, other than getting everything installed. Moving on forward, when it comes to libraries, nothing when it comes to the regular libraries. They've been silent this week. Actually, I should bug Matthew Potter about the generic units because my expectation was after I put out the video that he actually get to work on those. He's probably busy with other things and it's a volunteer, so I can't complain. But also, when it comes to the FedCom library, I actually do have a request from one of the players. He requested to have the FRD ship, which is one of the ones from the Captain's Log. So I'm hoping Steve Cole will be able to create the background image for this so we can actually create the ship card for the FRD. I'm assuming that the player has a certain scenario in mind when it comes to Federation Commander. Or he possibly might, if he wants to, start a campaign using the Federation Commander, which obviously the great thing about using Federation Commander is that a simplified version of the rules. Certain rules you don't actually have EW. You have EM, which is kind of an EW thing, but you don't have like ECCM to counteract that kind of thing. So it makes things quite interesting when you have only one side of EW equation. But anyway, with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one that all platforms becoming you to start from the universe on call. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have, of course, me. there's no Jeff's not here or Gary's not here. Nobody else is here, which is fine. Okay, let's see chat. I want da 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 da. No, okay, no. Don't mind me. I'm trying to get this. Ah, there it is. Okay, voila. Okay, now I see Doug on Twitch.
Yay, first time in a while.
Yep, I just want to make sure that I actually can see what I'm broadcasting. As I mentioned multiple times, I like having iPad as a kind of a monitor just to tell me, okay, what actually am I streaming out there? Of course, the weird part is that it's delayed by like possibly up to 30 seconds. Which is weird. Okay, I do this and I have to wait. Okay, I did a switch. Okay, there's the switch. Okay. Because every once in a while the switching mechanism of OBS kind of work doesn't quite work out. Okay, but in the meantime, what I was gonna do tonight, actually I was gonna start off with my game. My game is progressing. We got in 3.5 hours, we got four turns done. And I mentioned that actually on the discussion board. Big surprise. Steve, I'm sorry, not Steve. Peter Bakia mentioned that, yeah, well, basically because we have no seeking weapons whatsoever, just direct fire weapons, it tends to speed things up. Yeah, it does tend to speed things up. Especially considering, it's surprising that we got so many turns done in so little time. And I think that, as again, it's because of seeking weapons not being there. Because of also during it, there were at least part of setting up, and actually in some cases, there was one time where actually we had to kind of pause play because of he needed to very carefully share his screen on Discord so that I could see what he's seeing. I was like, that shouldn't be happening. And I figured out what he was doing wrong. Because things were grayed out, which they shouldn't have been grayed out. I figured out what the problem was. Okay, this is what you're doing wrong. And oh yeah, okay, now it's no longer grayed. It was because one of I think it was because the sh one of the ships was speed zero. He had forgotten to actually do a speed plot. Because that's one thing with the client. It's really designed. If you use a lot of the tools, it's very well. It helps you a lot, and helps other things too. Helps it's part of the automation. Problem is, if you do something like oh, in the case one, what he did was he allocated that he was doing it as in a real life scenario where basically you enter in all the information for the EA. Well, part of the EA is there's a button called set speed plot. So it allows you to set the speed plot, and when you do that, it also will automatically fill in the movement for for how much it costs for that move for that speed plot into your actual EA. And well, and if you do that part of it, you've actually entered a speed plot. That means when you do the big reveal, quote unquote, that is basically. There's a button where it reveals both your EW that you've allocated for the turn, in your EA, and it also reveals what your initial speed is. And also it'll also announce the speed and actually set the speed to be that initial speed. Well, he forgot to do it for one of the ships, so dun, 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 it was speed zero, so that's why he couldn't move that ship because it considered speed zero. That's why the movement buttons were grayed out, why he couldn't do that. So I figured out that fortunately he didn't do anything stupid and show me his EA. I know that'd be nice if he actually did accidentally. You know how those things are. It just happens to the show reveal
Nah.
exactly how much energy he's putting where and things like that.
Yeah, don't be
Minor things like
that's
that.
desperation time.
Yeah, that'd be. I'm one of those people when I was, especially when I was younger, I had a nasty habit of kind of, hey, if your cards are viewable by me, I'm just sitting here. If you're showing me your cards, it's not my fault. You
And
know?
I at least tell people if they're showing their cards.
Yep. That's my. Look, obviously later on in life, I told
I mean, I'm
him, oh,
still
can you
going to
hold
beat
back
you
your
whether
cards?
I see
Because
your cards
I
or
can
not.
see them. The problem is usually in a session that we're usually Pinochle we're playing, that invariably, they do it like two or three times before they actually get the hint. I need to change my position so I don't show my cards to Paul. Because usually the person next to me is my opponent. Mm-hmm. So, bum, 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 let me do this. Okay, because what I want to do is the start of it, I just want to give a quick update on the game. Obviously, we played it. The one thing that definitely happened, which was he went much slower than me. I was going anywhere from speed 17 to speed 24. With only thing that slowed me down was damage. So, okay, let me make sure that this is the first one, correct? No, this is the second one. Or actually, no, I don't. Okay, no, this is the first one I wanted to show. Let me bring that up, which is that. Okay, there it is. Okay, I want to make sure you can see it, which is, this is the end of turn two. In this game, this was my first mistake. Because of, if you notice here in the rangefinder, up here in the upper left hand, let me just make sure that you guys can see this and move this over a little bit. Okay, that should do it. If you notice on this rangefinder here, the range tracker, says from the CC number one, that's the guy in the middle. I didn't want to do a super stack. I wanted to have a little more flexibility, so I made a little V. My two frigates are on my left and right flank, and the CCs are in the middle at the greatest distance. Well, here's my first mistake. See, it says 31 here. That's 31 to here. Problem. That means it's 30 to this one, which is my destroyer. My destroyer number one, which range 30. What does this guy have? Come to find out the hard way. This is. Make sure this is the. No, that's not the one. Yeah, that's the one. Destroyer number one. Here, my destroyer after one. After 20 prox photons were fired at it. Of course, there's two dumb things I did here. The biggest one, I think, is not knowing I was range 30 because this guy actually got proxed. So, and what happened? Exactly 50%, 10 out of 20 hit. So, you know, I lost like a particle cannon, one Oxcon, lost all my forward hull, lost two of my batteries, and lost one warp on each one of these, and some rear hull, and my one and only shield cracker, web breaker. And because on this side, I also lost two phaser threes and one phaser one on this side. So, they were at least, this guy slowed down a little bit. The next, okay, no mic, no. Okay, well, it shouldn't be muted. Let me check.
What?
Okay, let me just check something. Don't mind me, people. Because one guy says I am muted, which would be bad.
I hear you.
You're different. You're special.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Heard that one before in my life.
There, and I hate this. Okay. Yep, I know I did. There. Actually, huh. Okay. No. I don't know why I'd be muted for him. You would be muted for him, but not me. Weird. Okay, let me. There it is. Okay. Hopefully that's solved my problem for streaming on Twitch. Because I'm not muted on my mic, as you know, Doug. And let me just bring this back to have so you can see, as you know, my destroyer got beat up, which is fine. You know, I paid my dues, you know. So we ended. Now, the thing is, he basically, for the first two turns, he moved like speed 8. I think it was speed 8. For the first two turns. So obviously he didn't move very far. Compared to me, I moved, you know, for the first two turns, I moved between 17 and 24 before the whole two turns. So I moved like over 40 hexes. Not 40 hexes, sorry. Around 40 hexes. A little less, like 35. So I did most of the movement here for this turn. Now, he maxed out his ECCM. So he was 6 ECM. These guys weren't, I'm pretty sure the cruisers had 6 ECM, and I think the destroyers had 4 ECM going on. Now, then we go on to this is the end of next turn, because I approached him. I got in. This is as close as I got for it. Here's the one destroyer that got damaged. The idea, obviously, is that when he turned like this, his shield number one is facing away from my opponent here. So he wants to hit it again, feel free. He was flying around the board with 10 ECM. 4 ECM generated, 6 six points generated, 4 points from EM. So it was a big 10 ECM, so that he was very protected. Also, he was going speed 14. Because to me, the important thing was to make sure he did not get destroyed this early in the game, because he still had good weapons available. And then he actually, at this point, he went full ECM at this point. And I went full ECCM for these guys, which definitely did not help in certain situations. But if you see here, the destroyer, when it comes to this, because he has a super stack here, basically one ship with 20 photons, range 17 at the end of turn 3. And that's for this guy just here, the destroyer 1, which is away and has a shield number 2 facing him, so that, because he originally hit my shield number 1 and knocked down my shield number 1 for the destroyer. That's for those of you who didn't see it on the video. And so now, and then we can work out the nice range 12 here. Now, the one thing that happened, was that coming in a little close, he decided to fire at my heavy cruiser as I was coming in. So knocked down my shield down to the 7 boxes for my heavy cruiser number 1. Like, okay, fine. Have fun. So I still have it. No internals yet. Okay, that was that one. And this one is what? This is... Oh, okay. Sorry, this one... Okay. We have to do this. I'll do this right now. It's for giggles. This is actually turn number 1. I didn't think I had this one. Sorry, I did this quickly, like 15 minutes before the podcast. I play this in VLC because I recorded it, you know, recorded the video. And, you know, so I did it really relatively quickly, trying to find the spots I wanted to show you guys without revealing, like, my EA, things like that. But, you know, we're starting after the first turn. He's up here. He's a lower right-hand corner. I'm flying in currently at the end of turn one, where it range 61. At the end of range, end of turn two, where it range 31. So I moved 30 hexes in one turn. So I was flying across the board. So, okay, let's go two. This should be, this is game saved. This is the end of turn four. I couldn't find it. I didn't have time. I actually did do some damage to destroyer number two of the Fed. Knocked out one of his photons and three phasers and a little bit of power. I knocked out a lot of his hull. His hull's all gone for that ship. I would have liked to have more power. Would have been nice. The biggest issue is that it's a center warp. Hitting center warp is hardest all creation to actually hit. So anyhow. So do-do-do. So, there it is. Impulse 4.32. So I'm turned away. I'm running away at this point because of I didn't want to get into his range 8. Now, here's the one thing that is an interesting data point. And that is him recharging. And that is he did, unbeknownst to him, he fired at my one destroyer. Well, the one destroyer actually had a shift on it, which he didn't realize. It's like, okay, you're firing. So he fired at it. He missed. But the data point that was interesting to me was that it was a standard photon torpedo. So the question, that brings up an excellent question to me. And that is, does he have any other photons loaded standard? You know? Or is he splitting some standard, some box? I don't know at this moment in time. And unfortunately, the only way I'm gonna find out is having to actually fire his weapons at me. That's not the way I really want to find out. The only way he's gonna fire at me is if he actually had a chance to actually hit me, or at least a decent chance. Because obviously we've discussed it before, and prox photons at range 30 is a 50% chance. But you know, so if you have a lot of them, which he does, you know, that can be quite beneficial, which it was obviously because of he knocked down the guy's shields and did quite a few internals to the one destroyer. One thing I did not show, but he fired again fired his phasers at my number one, actually it's not a CC, it's a CA, heavy cruiser. And with that, he actually knocked down my shield number one. I didn't want to use my battery. Not sure if I didn't want to use my batteries. I didn't have my batteries available. One of those two, I forget. And be honestly, I don't want to reveal it because of my dear sweet opponent could obviously be listening in. That's why I am not about to go through the full goings on of this game at this moment in time, because part of that usually is me showing you my EA.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, it's common sense kind of thing when you're broadcasting and somebody might be watching it.
Right, exactly. Especially because that's one thing we actually talked about. We talked about on Discord, we talked about my podcast. You know, so he might actually listen to my podcast just to find out what I did, and you know, if he wants to listen on this one, that this is fine, because this is what everyone saw. Anyone who stopped in, like Mad Jack stopped in. He stopped in. Actually, there were some people that actually stopped in and left. As you can see here, like Vandar, he came and quit. Not much happening. The problem with our setup, as you know, is it's all direct fire. So it's a lot of movements, a lot of us moving around, get to a certain range, and then kind of, in my case, flying away, because of I want to keep the range relatively open. I don't want to get to within range 8. That's what I feel like it's going to be better to me. Now, if he decides to go with prox photons because of that, because it does that, you know, you can just see by my actions itself that I'm not gonna get in range 8. Obviously that might change later in the game. So hopefully we can get this done by the end of March, because I think it's the 24th. Check me to this. Let's go window. And this is always the fun part, because I got bookmarks. This is going to show me nothing. That's because it's going to HTTPS, so it shows nothing. Here it is. First round max extension is March 24th, and any game going past that will be adjudicated per the rules. So just have to wait and see. To me, the great part about recording when I'm recording is that I have a record. I have a full record of, other than what we talked about, but I have a full record of exactly everything that went on. If I want to, I can even post it up and go, hey, here, Jeff, do you want to watch it or scan through it? You know, and so forth. So that's one thing. Don't mind me. I'm just checking on what he did. Oh, cool. Steve Patrick worked on module K update. Got back to work on that. Awesome. Because I know he had worked on some of the other module, and I'm glad he's back to working on number 8. Module K. That's for anyone who's actually read the company weblog. It's, to me, it seems hilarious. For example, on February 14th, Steve Patrick met with President of Turkey. On February 15th, Steve Patrick met with Xi Jinping, President of China. And then on the 16th, Steve Patrick met with the Emperor of Japan about the South China Sea situation. On the 17th, then he flew to Hawaii. Steve Patrick flew to Hawaii. On the 18th, Steve Patrick met with the members of the Hawaiian Independence Movement, something about reducing the number of blue state electoral votes on 2028. Steve Patrick is busy flying all over the world.
Right.
You know, yeah. Understood. Agreed. Though this sounds more plausible, which is on Monday the 24th, Patrick had a minor surgery to remove a 40-year-old piece of shrapnel.
That's still probably satire.
Possibly. That's true, especially if he's back to work 2 days later. Yeah. Working on the module, okay. It's definitely more of, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. Oh, jeez.
Okay, so why are we distracted with this blog part?
I'm sorry. I started reading because I I forgot to check the blog before I did the news portion. Sorry.
Okay.
I got me interested. I apologize. I apologize for doing that, because I just wanted, the main reason I came for this at all was just to check on the deadlines for the game, for the, we had to get it done by March 24th. We're again, we will be playing again on actually Saturday, starting at 12 noon my time. That is actually 10 a.m. his time, because he's in Arizona, which is interesting just because I've my best friend growing up, he is currently in Arizona. So, and also, of course, for those baseball fans, that's where the Cactus League is, i.e. spring training. So, versus the Grapefruit League, which is, of course, Florida. Those of you who play, who watch baseball and are baseball fans, you know this. Actually, though, the funny part is that a friend of my daughter's, she actually was down there in, I was going to say Sarasota, but it's not Sarasota. Phillies camp. Oh, darn. Forget where they are. I know they were thinking about moving to Sarasota, but they actually got to see a minor league game, which was quite cool. So anyway, that's where we stand. Yeah, this is three. Yeah.
So since we had that little break there, what's the summation here? You had one ship damaged and he had one ship damage?
Yeah, I have actually two ship one ship actually has internal damage. My one heavy cruiser has shield damage.
Did you pop off your shield breakers at him when you shot him?
Yep. Unfortunately, only one hit.
Wow.
Yeah, I rolled really bad. I range 10 shot, you know, 50% chance of hitting. Of the four I fired, I only hit with one.
You got the reverse jackpot.
Yeah. So.
Now what damage did you do to him?
One of the photons, like, phaser three, two phaser ones, hull, and a few boxes of power.
On one of his destroyers.
One of his destroyers, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I have not had an opportunity to actually fire my particle cannons twice in one turn yet.
Well, you seem to have turned away there, so.
Yes, yes. Because if I'm coming in, the only I have two choices: either get closer or get farther away.
So, well, you're at range 12 or so, but well, the problem is he's got a ton of photons.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay far away, he's just going to reload proxies and blow down a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And do some internals.
I'm
if
sure
you get really close, he might overload one or some, like partially overload some or overload some.
Exactly.
Who knows? Oh. And there's so much uncertainty and overthinking you can do in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed.
But if he's got like, if he gives you some opportunities, you know, turn back and pop that number one, pop his down shield.
Mm-hmm.
Try to take out a ship outright.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or knock down shields on another one and see if you can cripple a different ship.
Yeah, the to me, the big issue currently for me. Okay. Da-da-da. Okay. Screw that. Let's bring this up real fast. Just so I can show it. A single player mode at the moment. That's one. Only thing I wanted to bring up was weapons chart. Well, Saltorian. Now, the big issue with him is, okay, Yeah, 6-10 when the three got 4 points of damage, which is pretty good for the shield cracker. But to get a decent amount of damage, you have to get at least to range 15 for the particle cannons, because that'll do 3 points of damage at range 15. You got 1-2 to hit at range 22. And of course, range 30 has got one for 1-2 to hit, you get 1 point of damage. I don't have a large fleet here.
No, you don't. And you need to get in a more optimal range and tear down a shield.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I did. I got into the 9-15 range.
Yeah.
Which is what I can do. And the closest I got actually was range 9. I never let him get to range 8.
Okay.
Because Lord knows that would have been very, very bad for me. Because then
if he had Paroxys. I mean, if he has Paroxys, he can't shoot them at that range.
Right. But as I pointed out earlier, he did actually reload one of his torpedoes, photon torpedoes, as a standard torpedo and fired it.
Yeah. Did he hit with it?
No, he missed because it was a shift.
Okay.
Because actually, if I want to, I could do this. Load game. It should be this one. Yes. Yeah. So I should be able to go here. I got the logs here. Yeah. So phase one's fired. Okay. Or was it? He fired, I think, DD number one, was it? Oh, number two. Yeah, this is where I fired. At range 15, I fired 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 double particle cannons. And for me, it was, where's my rolls? There's his, here's mine, and I got knocked that down to 3 boxes on shield number six. And ta-da. And that was, you fired a bunch of his phaser ones at me again. Keeps on firing phaser ones at me. He launched actually five shuttles. Not sure why.
Because that's 5 phaser 1s. Yeah. Or 5 phaser 3s.
And I fired at range 9.
I mean, they're not seeking.
On this destroyer. And that's when I actually got some internals. Got the center hull. Got phaser 1, phaser 3, and a photon torpedo. And that was 15 damage from the PCs. And the phaser 1s I also fired, which was 9, so a total of 24. So that's when I knocked down the shield number 2. So he's got a weak shield number 6 and a down shield number 2. Yeah, I can do this, which is... Where's my opponent's SSDs? And that shield number, this is what it looks like at the moment. Got damage shield number 6, down shield number 2. He has 3 out of 4. He has no batteries, or his batteries are gone, his center hull is gone. And those phasers are going there. So that's what I've done so far. And yeah, and for me, for my ships, you know, there's the destroyer here with all this damage. This is from initial damage. He's not done any more damage. And this one, he actually knocked down. He also fired at my shield number 3, so that's down to 8. And my shield number 1, he knocked down to 0. But you know, the only reason I brought this up was, mainly I just wanted to show, not the game, I wanted to show the actual weapons chart for the particle cannons, because it only can do 3 points of damage, and so I have only if I have all of them, you've got a total of 12. At the moment, I only have 11 particle cannons available. I have to double check on that. I gotta see what my weapons are for my second destroyer. Cause that's the one has not had any issues. And this is
You know, missing with like all but one of your shield breakers.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda sucks.
Yeah.
And if you end up losing, I think that was probably the pivotal point. Potentially.
Yeah, agreed.
But
because
on the other hand, maybe you'll run around and basically rip down another one of his boats with it. Who knows?
Agreed. Yeah, because he is. Okay, let me just filter for my ships. For ships. Currently, he's going speed 4. While I'm flying away at high speed. And I'm sure what he's doing is he's putting all his power into phaser, recharging his phaser wands and recharging his photons. So.
Or both.
Probably
especially
both.
Especially if he's doing speed 4.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I think you should try and close on him during his recharge turn. Except that you pointed yourself away.
Yeah.
But if you can kind of turn around pretty quick without
Well, currently he's after his initial prox photon hit on turn 2, mm-hmm. He hasn't fired a single photon. Oh, he's fired one photon. And right now, in theory, his recharge turn was turn 3. And, I closed in and I fired the one time. And then in turn 4, I fired again. And that's when I got hit by one of the standard. Well, not. I didn't get hit. I got fired on by one of the photon torpedoes. Which is interesting because he fired one and not more than one.
Okay. Yeah, he might have been saving it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't. Got me on that. But and so things aren't badly. Currently, in my mind, we are pretty even. Obviously, he's a little bit ahead because of he damaged the shields on my heavy cruiser. But weapons wise, I still match his. Obviously, he's got better photons, so he's got a better weapons than I do, and more heavy weapons than I do. So it's going to be interesting. It's overall, I'm in a death match with what I am in. Just because of this is the way I see it going at the moment. He's going to remain going at a very slow speed. What he's going to do with these suckers, I have no clue. That's the shuttles. For all I know, he might be using them as kind of fighters. Poor man's fighter. It has additional phaser 3s to get on down shields. I can easily see him do that. But I'm willing to bet he's going to be flying around most of the game somewhere speed 4 to speed 8. And I'm the one that's going to be flying at a higher speed basically to be able to set the range versus him. Now, if only I was playing the Andromedans.
Well, you chose Saltorin, so there you
go. I couldn't fly the Andromeda. They were not available. If they were, I would have picked them in a heartbeat. Now, I still have some issues here. But the least thing is with the Andromedans, the good thing I could have done is with this slow speed, if I time it right, I can have it so that if he's going like speed 8, which is still a turn mode of 2, I can displace to his off shield, you know, or possibly a down, you know, displace to a down shield, you know, and hit him again. Obviously, 20 prox photons on Andromedans would not be a good thing. But hey.
Not for the one that he picks.
Yep. Exactly. I might actually, just for giggles, I might create an Andromedan fleet. Not that I can fly it. Just to see what the makeup would be. Because obviously the one thing I'd want actually in an Andromedan fleet, I'd actually want to have like an intruder, you know, one of the larger motherships. And the smaller ships, I have to think about it. What I do, I would probably either pick like 2 Mambas, because they're worth like 130 a piece. That's like 260 right there. And I forget what I'd have to look to see what the intruder's worth. I thought the intruder was worth, I forget, it's worth like a cruiser or a dreadnought. I thought it's worth like a dreadnought. No, that makes no sense. Yeah, because I think the Dominator, that's definitely a dreadnought. And obviously I couldn't play that, but
so you only hurt one ship, right?
Correct.
Is that shield down towards you?
At this moment in time, it is not. It is on this side, which is over here. And the other one is the other shield is down to 3 boxes, and unless he actually allocates shield reinforcement, which I don't think he will. He has no battery, so you know, firing on shield number 6 will do pretty much the same thing. So, but. Said at really, this is going. It's going to be a long game. Overall.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you need to get turned around and get that pass at him where you can pop. You know, get 2 hits on him with your weapons.
Agreed. Yeah. See, this one right now. He's flying around with 10 ECM because he's also using EM and ECM. And my two heavy cruisers are just with 6 ECM. And then he has 1 point of ECM, which means a +1 shift. If for him, actually it'd be more than that. It'd be a +2 shift if he would fire. And I think that's why. I'm pretty sure that's why I decided I was going to let these guys fire and I didn't fire from my second destroyer, is because of the shift that I incurred by myself. And even if I dropped the EM, I would then also still have a +1 shift and go from 50% to a third. Third, you know, 1 out of 3 to hit, so. That's probably why I didn't fire from the destroyer. But I might have to take chances with the destroyers and not have them as protected and have them, you know, kind of beat up on them. So that is an interesting. There's an idea I have, and I want to voice it, but I don't want to voice it just because of my opponent might be listening. In which
Oh,
case,
you can mention it afterwards.
yeah, I'll mention it to you afterwards. So, anyhow, but this definitely playing this. The one thing that definitely I'm gonna work on in the future. Give me a sec. Thirsty. I'm talking a lot. I'm thirsty. Surprise. That is, I really want to endeavor to try to get together with at least one person. Anybody out there? I'll probably post it all over the place that I can figure out. I can think of. Anyone who's relatively close by. Let's see if they'd be willing to do this, which is what I want. Or I really would like to do. Is take advantage of gamers. In that, what I like to do is actually set up a fleet battle between me and somebody else. Or if you want more than one, hey, the more the merrier. But someone who would be willing to commit to being there for 2 days, and fly, an actual battle. Excuse me, I keep on getting it. Think I got it. That is a fleet battle at Gamers. So it's one that we could set up, leave there overnight, and then come back to it the next day. Now, obviously, it wouldn't have to be huge, but big enough, that we would. Maybe 1,000 points on each side. Not something too terribly huge, but something large enough that we can definitely keep us busy during the whole weekend. Obviously, if they want to, we could do something like this, which is the 500-pointer fleet battle. And we can work out, or if we want to do a scenario, we can do a scenario. Something that's a little bit larger, a little bit more interesting than a single ship duel,
Lone Gray Wolf scenario.
Isn't that Grey Wolf? Isn't that campaign?
The mini campaign.
Yeah.
That has some multi-ship battles.
Right.
Yeah. That could be one for you.
Understood. But obviously.
I mean, we've talked about what to do to get people to come out for gamers for years and years and years, and it's like, of all the people in the place, yeah, there's maybe half a dozen people who have played at one time or another or know what Starfleet Battles is.
Right.
And only three of us were like SFB players back in the day, so to speak. And then, generally speaking, over the course of the weekend, the two who are not sitting at the desk to run the desk the whole weekend, you guys have other games to do, and that's other stuff that you come out for.
Right.
It's like I couldn't see like you and Barry sitting down. I could see you and Barry sitting down to a game because like you did last time.
Right. Right.
But I couldn't see you guys sitting down to a 2-day affair.
Oh,
Or
I
even
understand.
a 1-day affair, unless you had two or three other SFB players specifically come out to do exactly that.
I understand.
Because, you guys are going to both be interested in playing some other games and doing other stuff and running demos and whatnot.
Understood. But here's the thing. If there is somebody, I'll be actively looking for a person that is relatively nearby, whether that they live near Baltimore or possibly Jersey. That would take different arrangements to do that.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing. At this point, I usually try to couch it in like reasonable travel terms. But then I think back to like the days of Origins, and it's like most of the SFB players that went to Origins, they went there just to play SFB or just to play F&E.
Right.
And they didn't care about the rest of the convention.
Right.
They literally didn't care, other than maybe the dealer room. And the only reason for that is because that's when, you know, they would pick up stuff for other things that they did. And whatever the big release was for SFU at the time.
Right.
So I have absolutely no qualms with people coming in from out of town, out of the area, doing a significant travel if they know that they're going to get their money's worth out of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a frickin' hotel. The place is not the most expensive place to stay at in the country or even the area.
True.
It's what, $140 a day. It's way less than it costs to go to Origins. You know, two or three people split a room coming in from out of town, and they're going to do 14 hours of SFB minus like bio breaks of some kind. Hey, you know, feel free to knock yourself out on all the boards out there. There's a bunch of groups on Facebook, and I plan on having taking another stab at recruiting and advertising. I mean, I'm not that optimistic about it, but, you know, we got really hurt with the storm and the Valentine's Day weekend thing this past year.
Yep, agreed.
So, if we're at that venue next year, I've already asked them if they'll try to book us for the Martin Luther King weekend. Just in case the group that had that before us, which was a multi-year thing that had that every year, does not try to book them because of the uncertainty factor of whether the place will still be owned.
Right.
And running in that same capacity. But for the summer, you know, I've already got a tiny little bit of feedback from people on Facebook saying about the going out to other conventions and putting flyers out. I just have to make a new flyer. So that's a project for me for this week or next.
Yep. Because
that going.
Yeah, there's that one which you actually posted about, which is not too far from here, which is actually Allentown. That's like
Gamacon.
An hour. Yeah. That's like an hour drive for me.
And it's like there are a good number of people in our Facebook group that go to other conventions all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go to game nights at all these other game shops and whatnot. So, and you know what? If I literally hand somebody a stack of half a dozen flyers, you know, and you've got local game shop, local library, they're willing to put it up for you, Mr. Walking in the Door, Miss Walking in the Door there. Hey, okay. I mean, there was a time a decade ago when I would drive within a 50-mile radius of Harrisburg, hitting every library that would let me put something up. Not all of them did.
Right.
But every library or bookstore that was, or game shop. And it's like, I haven't done that in years for a variety of reasons that had to do with health, availability of the car, and, you know, being here to take care of make sure the kids are on and off the bus, blah, 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 with the amount of driving time that would take.
Right, right.
So, plus, you know, being a one-car couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am all for that. And, it's on my agenda of stuff to do, so to speak. But on the other hand, you, the Mr. Starfleet Battles rep, going on to different Facebook groups and saying, hey, we've got this event over here. The guy has been running it for like a decade and a half in this one place. And it's a hotel where you can stay overnight. Do you guys want to put together something that is larger than what you would normally do on a weekend.
Right.
Over a holiday weekend. Now, we might get not as many people because of it being the Labor Day holiday weekend. And we might not get as many people because Martin Luther King not being the kind of weekend. And, you know, this kind of strikes a weird thing for me because, you know, the major holidays, a lot of them are family-oriented and people will not go out to events like ours because of that. But then there's also a lot of the events where they were traditionally held over that kind of weekend, like the 4th of July weekend, like Origins was over a lot of 4th of July weekends back in the day. And, you know, they'll have a 4, 5, 6 day convention. So it's just kind of a weird thing. It's like, I wonder if it's dying and I wonder if it's reviving. 'Cause I get people saying both things. So there it is.
Understood. Well,
we're definitely going to have a bit of a drive, so to speak.
Understood. Yeah, well, I will do my best to get all I need is one person that will commit to being there. I don't care about anybody else. I don't. And if one person is willing to commit to come and play a fleet battle with me, I will commit to being there and playing that, and that be my focus for that weekend. Yes, I like, you know, to do other events for people, but also the good thing about having a fleet event, you know, event where I'm playing it over a weekend, you know, or, you know, at least maybe a whole day, it gets, you know, people who are at the convention availability to actually see it actually being played, you know, for a long period of time. I'm not saying they'll get interested, but, you know, at least they'll be able to see it. You know, obviously the best opportunity would be if either that person or me, I know I don't have them, which is have miniatures, because miniatures are always the best thing. This kind of, you know, to grab people's attention, miniatures are the thing. And I know that because that's when I did demos, that's what I would do. And I actually would have, for me, I had two ships when it comes to demos when I was doing it back in Origins. And that is, I had the Klingon and I had the Fed. That's all I had. That's the only thing I painted ever myself.
That was all you needed.
Yeah, that's all I needed. In the right, exactly.
But you were in the breezeway where it was high visibility and there's 12,000, 15,000 people coming out for Origins.
Right.
You know, and that's just part of the huge numbers game. Because way back then, gamers were about 5% of the population, and we were in a group out of that that's like 1% or so. I mean, there's 12 to 15,000 people going to Origins back then. You know, 4,000 at its lowest, over 15 at its peak. And out of that, you had a steady 300, roughly, coming in for the various SFU stuff.
Yep.
So, and out of that 300, very few still play, and even fewer come out to do stuff at, like, our event.
Right. Oh, understood. You know, but the good...
Look at Schenectady Group, that finally went and faded.
Right.
Understood. I'm kind of shocked at that.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh. Understood. But you know, they still play. They no longer have the Council of Five Nations.
They don't have the convention thing.
Right.
The big tournament.
Right. Right.
That they used to run. That was the last big tournament for SFB in face to face play at conventions that I'm aware of. You know, and we can't get people to come out, it seems like, for a any kind of let's pre-plan a scenario and do it there.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it. It just seems like it's been very frustrating.
Oh, understood. Understood. I'm encouraged to a certain degree from the number of posts I see on Facebook when it comes to the Starfleet Battles group, and, you know, people who want to get back into it after not playing it for many, many years. I understood that a lot of these people are older individuals who are now retired, and it's like, you know, I used to play the Metal Gym. I used to have a lot of fun doing that, you know. And, you know, I'm encouraged by that. Obviously, you know, do we want the younger people? Yes, we want the younger people actually playing instead of just the older people. I understand that. But, you know, hey, instead of having, you know, going out with a whimper, let's go out, you know, if we enjoy it, let's go play. You know, who cares about what anybody else is doing? You know, that's the important thing.
And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is actually getting the people that want to do it to come out.
Right. Oh, understood. well, Doug, I'm going to try. And if I don't succeed, fine. I can still do what I normally do, which is, you know, I have demos available for people that want me to demo, whether it's Call to Arms or Klingon Armada or the, you know, Starfleet Battles or Federation Commander, whatever they want to do, Starfleet Battle Force, which I haven't played for a while. Have a few decks of that. Nice cards. I like that. But, you know, I'm more than happy to still, I can still do that, but I want to at least try, because, you know, worst case scenario, I can fall back in what I've done previously.
You know, I'm just saying that when I have the new flyer together and the event listed on Facebook and the website adjusted to say, hey, here's Gamers of Summer 2025. You know, let's hit those other threads.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit those different bulletin boards and stuff.
I've got a
game. I wonder if we got some kind of support from ADB, you know, would they be able to generate having any people come out? You know, is there enough people talking on their boards that would be interested in something that ADB sanctions or says, here's a special thing for being there?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really talked to them very much in the last few years either, so.
Right.
Because, I mean, I did try to get support from them years ago, but we also haven't seen the turnout for the kind of events that they would support.
Right. And
that's kind of it's like a cart and horse situation. Mm-hmm. There. It's like trying to go out and get support from the local game shops. You know, a decade ago when we were getting 100 plus people, and those weren't people that were going into those shops, they were happy to give us stuff that we could give out that would be like advertising for them. Nowadays, you know, they've got their regular group of people going in. And do they look at us as something they need to support? I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen the support there, but then again, I haven't really bugged them about it. So that's another thing.
Yep.
It's a totally different topic.
Yeah. Well, I have at least one, if not two, game stores around here. There's actually one which is less, it's just a few miles from my house. I forget what it's called. Actually, I donated some of my games to them so they can, for their gaming night. You know, because I want to get rid of them. And they're perfectly, and they're brand new games I never opened up the boxes for. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, well. That'd be kind of cool. And that I never got around to it. It's like, I thought about it. It's like, what's the point of actually having them if I'm not going to play them? It's like, this, at least give them to somebody who actually will take an opportunity and play them. You can have it available for the people
Totally
who
get
play
it.
there.
Yeah, totally get it. So on a more positive note, as mentioned the other week, we are under contract for Labor Day. Same place. And it's a nice venue.
Yes, it is.
Really nice.
It's a really nice venue. It's the place is close to many restaurants, so that when you have to feed that hunger, which is inside of us, inside ourselves, that we, you can go to a nice place. Obviously, it's a hotel, so you can stay there if you want to stay there overnight.
They
also,
have
the venue, which is we have this really large room. It's lots of tables to play any game that you want and play with anybody you want. You know, it's really nice. You know, obviously bring your games with you. It's always always great, especially if you have a game that you want to play that you want to show with somebody. Maybe they'd be interested in learning your game. You know, because if you're excited about it, maybe you can get someone else excited about it.
And, you know, there's plenty of people there that will, like, plenty of the local gamers will take you out to restaurants and stuff around there, too. You know, especially if you're, like, all involved in a game. So, I mean, it's not quite the Boondocks. There's plenty of places to eat, things to see and do.
The
restaurant even runs a hotel during the weekend. They run their restaurant during the weekend. They run a restaurant and a bar. So it's not quite, you know, not quite the boonies. It's just. But it does help if you come in from out of town, if you have a car or know somebody that has a car.
Yeah.
For like going out for breakfast or lunch, dinner thing.
I agree.
And I'm sure, you know, we haven't really tried it, but I'm sure there's places that would deliver there too.
Oh, I'm definitely. Someplace that's close. Oh yeah. Oh no. Definitely. In worst case scenario, in some case you could get like DoorDash or Uber Eats. I'm sure that they'd be happy to deliver it to the hotel.
Well, it's like this. Harrisburg is over 250,000 population. The city of Harrisburg is only under 50,000 last census, I think. But the greater urban area is around 250,000 plus. And it's literally right in the middle of a big urban sprawl. There's, like, you could walk to Sheetz, a Mexican restaurant, and something else right there where we're at.
Chick-fil-A.
It's not attached to the hotel. I mean, it's not a convention center thing where you got, like, 20 different restaurants and a food court. That would be nice, but, you know, we'd have to go someplace else that would be a lot more expensive to run it at.
Yeah.
And to have that happen, we need more people coming in to bump up our budget.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know,
this doesn't happen on unicorn farts, so to speak. So.
Very true, very true. Well, with that, I think we should wrap it up for the evening.
Yeah.
Doug, it is always, always a pleasure to have you around. You have a good night.
Thanks for having me on again, Paul.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye. So, had a nice discussion about my ongoing game, which was going to be ongoing for probably another 3 hours this weekend, and then hopefully we can set up for the weekend after that. Because it seems like weekends seem like the best days to actually get together. I'm hoping we can get it done, or at least get to a certain resolution in the matter. Hopefully so that we don't have to have it adjudicated. And hopefully I can pull this thing out. Because I definitely see this uphill climb just because of the opponent I'm facing. You know, and I have no seeking weapons. This is probably the last time I'll probably play Saltorians for a while. Unless I'm gonna, I'll play, I'll playing Andromeda. And I will do that. I might do that for next week. And just come up with a Andromedan fleet. Just to show what, you know, what it would be like. And that'd be interesting. But anyway, and with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.